And welcome back to Taboo Topic. This is your host, Ken Drew, for your Week in Review edition. I don't have a guest this week, but I promise you it'll be worth your time. We have three stories to go over, from the funding of pipes in the name of racial equity, to 3,000 U.S. citizens still in Afghanistan, to the 7.5 inflation rate that just came out today. How about we inflate our numbers by sharing this episode with people you know? But with that said, before we go on any further, we'll take a short break. Stay tuned after this short break.
Some safe smoking skin may contain alcohol swabs, lip balm, other materials to promote hygiene and reduce the transmission of diseases like HIV and hepatitis. I would note that what we're really talking about here is steps that we're taking as a federal government to address the opioid epidemic, which is killing tens of thousands, if not more, Americans every single day, week, month of the year. We put out this statement, though, because there was inaccurate information out there, or I should say HHS put out this statement because there was inaccurate information out there, and we wanted to provide clarification on the allowable uses for the HHS harm reduction program. It's not a change in policy. This program, though, is focused on harm reduction strategies, including prioritizing the use of fentanyl test strips and clean syringes. And all of these harm reduction services that will be supported by these programs are intended to save lives from an epidemic that we know is devastating to communities across the country.
This is a 5 o'clock free crack giveaway.
Do you know what?
I'm here for the same reason you is, man. I want some crack.
We are not giving crack away today.
What time is it?
It's 5 o'clock.
Did I miss a 5 o'clock free crack giveaway?
Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I am your host, Ken Drew, per usual. This is your Week in Review edition. Welcome back. Welcome back. And as always, I have to ask my audience, how was your week this week? If you're wondering how my week was, well, it was all right, besides losing my voice for the most part, though it's slowly coming back. I had a pretty good week at school. I got an A on an exam, which brought my grade up from a low C to a mid B now, so your taxpayer dollars are not being wasted. That GI Bill. Yeah, I was actually struggling in that class. It's environmental science, and for some reason, I have not done so hot on the quizzes. Like, it's only 10 questions and everything like that. And maybe that's why I've struggled with it, because it seems so minuscule and so petty that I don't even bother trying that hard until I started seeing the results, and I realized I was at a mid-D. I was like, oh, crap. I need to actually get my act together. Luckily, though, the actual test where they quizzed me, or excuse me, they test me for multiple chapters at a time, is worth 70% of my grade. So, because I got a 96% to be exact on my test, it brought my grade up from a low C to a mid B. So, I'm pretty happy about it. But yeah, let me know how your week was. I want to hear it. By all means, I want to hear how you guys been. And with that said, ladies and gentlemen, let's get started with today's show, shall we? It's going to be a good one. For next week and the week after that, I do have guests that will do weekend reviews with me. I have a friend, Devin, is going to come back on the show and do a weekend review with me. And I also have a new guest, first-time guest. He actually just started a podcast named Red Girl in a Blue World. So go ahead and check her out. Her first episode just came out recently. Show her some love. And she'll be coming on this show to go over stories, current events, go over the synopsis, give our initial reaction, and then have a conversation about it. A deep dive into these current events and our thoughts about those situations. So, but for this week alone, for this week anyway, we're just going to go back to the old school humble beginnings of just me, baby. It's just me. But anyways, so many of you guys have heard of this story, I'm sure, at some point during the week. But I'm going to cover it just because it seems like a story you'd find on the in The Onion or Babylon Lee. It's just so comical to think this is actual reality. So the Health and Human Services Department has this $30 million harm reduction program. These grants would distribute pipes or establish centers where addicts could legally use otherwise illegal drugs under the watch of medically trained professionals. Press Secretary Jen Psaki, however, said at the White House briefing that that was not the case. While smoking kits are something that can be funded through the program, she said crack pipes were never part of the kit. A safe smoking kit may contain alcohols, alcohol swabs, lip balm, and other materials to promote hygiene and reduce transmission of diseases like HIV and hepatitis. She said, I would note that we're really talking about here is steps that were taken as a federal government to address the opioid epidemic, which is killing tens of thousands, if not more, Americans every single day, week, month of the year. Now, the Human and Health Services Secretary Xavier Becerra and the Office of National Drug Control Policy Director Dr. Ralph Gupta released a joint statement clarifying the policy. The Human Health Services and the ONDCP are focused on using our resources smartly to reduce harm and save lives. Accordingly, no federal funding will be used directly or through subsequent reimbursement guarantees to put pipes in safe smoking kits. Now, with that said, that is according to the Floridian Politics or Florida Politics. The article mainly focused on Marco Rubio. Senator Marco Rubio wants to pass legislation to ensure our government does not fund research that actually enables people to go ahead and continue their addiction. But we do have a story from the Washington Bacon, Free Bacon, that states that, before I go there, they do go on to say the goal of harm reduction is to save lives. The administration is focused on a comprehensive strategy to stop the spread of drugs and curb addiction, including prioritizing the use of proven harm reduction strategies like providing naloxone, fentanyls, test strips, and clean syringes, as well as taking divisive actions to go after violent criminals who are trafficking illicit drugs like fentanyl across our borders and into our communities. We will continue working to address the addiction and overdose epidemic and ensure that our resources are used to the smartest and most efficient manner. Again, that's from the Florida Politics, as the story mainly focused on Marco Rubio. Now, the Washington Bacon said the kits aim to reduce. They do also confirm the goal as far as reducing the risk of infection when smoking substances with glass pipes that can lead to infections. But they also got information as far as applicants for the grants are prioritized if they treat a majority of underserved communities, including African Americans, and LGBTQ persons, as established under President Joe Biden's executive order on advancing racial equity. Democratic cities such as San Francisco and Seattle have distributed smoking kits to residents. Some local governments, however, have in recent years backed away from their smoking kit programs over concerns they enable drug abuse. Well, no kidding. Louisville, Kentucky, for example, allowed convenience stores to sell smoking kits but later banned them. Legislators in Maryland ditched their distribution plan after facing backlash from local law enforcement and African-American leaders. Now, my initial reaction to this, you might have already heard me. I kind of giggled because, like I said a moment ago, this seems like a story you'd read out of The Onion or Babylon Lee. It's so absurd, but why would the government tell us the truth first and foremost? So it makes sense that they're not gonna come out and admit, like, yeah, we're funding crack pipes. Of course we are. Why would they admit that first and foremost? Of course we're not gonna destroy the fund of distribution of crack pipes. That's insanity. That's the problem, right, with our government. We can't trust them and tell us the truth anymore. Now, there is a problem in our country with the use of drugs and overdosing. The Trump administration tried to address the opium crisis, and you could say the Biden administration is doing the same. But let's just imagine for a moment that the original reports of funding crack pipes was real. Why would the Health and Human Services fund that? Now, granted, we do have a individual who believes that children should get hormone treatments to transition to another gender. That's who's running our current system right now in the health department. So it doesn't surprise me that they came up with this idea that, oh yeah, let's go ahead and distribute crack pipes to make sure people get lean off of these drugs. Doesn't make any sense to me. How does giving people crack pipes while in rehabs help the situation? Seriously. We do know from them they are giving away clean syringes, supposedly. All right, so you have drugs, and you have syringes, and you're telling these people, hey, if you want some drugs, here's the syringes and here's the doses you'll need in order to satisfy your cravings. Don't worry, this is a reduction program. We're going to make sure you take less and less and less. Now, in theory, this is a good idea, but in practice, it never works. When you're an addict of an unhealthy drug, even alcohol, you have to stop completely. You cannot do this reduction. It doesn't exist. You cannot tell me there aren't other methods to ensure people get the appropriate treatment. The reasons, the concerns as far as enabling, that is justified. This does enable someone to continue. And I've never heard of a rehab program that does that. If you go to rehab, they don't allow you to do any of the drugs that you came in for. The reason why you're in rehab is to get off of the drugs, to reprogram your mind, to find healthier outlets to whatever stresses that caused you to go to harmful drugs and substances as an outlet to your stress. Again, in what world does this make sense? Are we positive there wasn't any foul play in the 2020 election? And no, I'm not letting that go. It's crazy for me to think that people are willing to just ignore the dishonesty that took place. Because this is a circus. You know how Trump promoted racial equity, like the Biden administration loves to talk about? By creating economic growth, jobs, and creating policies where people in minority communities could become entrepreneurs. Give them to power to get them out of situations where they can get better resources, for better outlets to deal with their stress. That's how you get off the people. That's how you get people off these drugs. Yes, there are financially set people who still get into that stuff, but you cannot tell me the rate is the same as if you were in that situation. I could not imagine if someone I loved were going to rehab and I heard that they were giving away drugs to kind of help them deal with their addiction as part of the rehab program. How does that make the loved one who wants that person to get better feel? How does that give them a good feeling about them being there? Where's the science for this policy, right? Follow the science, they always ask, or they always say, follow the science. Well, let me ask you this, Mr. President. Where's the science that says this is a good idea? I understand it takes a minute to sober up because there's going to be withdrawal and everything like that. I get that. It's going to take a while to get it out of your system. I think the stat is around 30 days, and then it takes about 3 to 5 years to fully recover from that addiction, something along those lines. Don't hold me to it. Not an expert. But that's proven science. That's proven fact. If you want to recover from an addiction, an unhealthy addiction, if not, you have to stray completely away from it. So once again, Mr. President, where is your science to this? It's a little insulting almost to think that black people, in order for black people to get off of these drugs, first and foremost, we have to give them drugs to get them better. Again, in what world does that make sense? Imagine if it was Donald Trump doing this. Oh my gosh, CNN and NBC, all the mainstream news outlets would be losing their minds, calling him racist. How insulting this is. The racist undertone this gives, this sends out to people. Have people lost their minds in this country? I'm genuinely asking that question right now. Sometimes I want to put my head through a wall to ensure I'm not dreaming. It's just that crazy. Now, you know who else wished they were in a dream right now? The 9,000 U.S. citizens that are wishing their situation, the 9,000 citizens who are still in Afghanistan. That'll be next after this short break. Stay tuned. And now a word from my own sponsor, me. I know, I just said my own. I just kind of gave it away right there. Isn't that coincidence? Now, this sponsor is just me. There's no money to be made off this. It's just me getting the word out. First and foremost, if you've ever wondered where the hell I get these monologues and everything like that, well, I'm glad you asked, because in reality, they're just my articles from my Substack newsletter, all right, in which you can just find that just by typing in the URL at kenjin296.substack.com. Arabi, kenjin296.substack.com. Spell the word engine, put the letter K in front of the word engine, then you get kenjin, one word, 296.substack.com. And also, if you want to keep up to date when I post these articles and episodes for Taboo Topic, you can follow me on Instagram first and foremost. Just type in Kenjin_Express. And then last but not least, you can also follow me on Facebook. Go to the search bar, type in Taboo Topic. Look for the logo that says Honesty Equals Understanding. Here on this show, we dare to question the narrative and think out loud, where free speech triumphs your safe space. Every Wednesday, we have a hot seat edition, where I take one subject or idea and put it on the hot seat. It's in the name and self-explanatory. I question and I am skeptical, or I just dig deeper and I do some research as far as why this topic and idea is so popular, or why it's becoming popular or becoming a trend. So that gets on the hot seat. That's Wednesday. And on Fridays, I do a weekend review
where I pick 3 to 4 stories, maybe 6, depending on my mood and how much time I have available on me. But I pick those stories because I think you'll find them interesting too. Stories that may be taboo, and or maybe the stories themselves are not taboo, but some of the opinions that people may have are taboo. And I give my own little synopsis and also initial reactions. That's guaranteed 2 episodes a week, every single week, coming your way. Which you can listen to this episode, you can listen to any episode on any platform, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Google Podcasts even. Any episode. In order for us to have true understanding, we have to be able to be honest with each other, am I right? In order for people to have true peace in our society and our people to have true peace, we have to be able to be honest with each other. We may not necessarily like each other or agree, but at least we understand where we're coming from. If we understand where we're coming from, then we have true peace in our own society, in our own population. Amen? All right, let's get back to the show.
After 20 years, I've learned the hard way that there was never a good time to withdraw U.S. forces. That's why we're still there. We were clear-eyed about the risk. We planned for every contingency, but I always promised the American people that I would be straight with you. We completed one of the biggest airlifts in history, with more than 120,000 people evacuated to safety. With multiple warnings and offers to help them leave Afghanistan, all the way back as far as March. After we started the evacuation 17 days ago, we did initial outreach and analysis and identified around 5,000 Americans who had decided earlier to stay in Afghanistan, but now wanted to leave. Our Operation Allied Rescue ended up getting more than 5,500 Americans out. We got out thousands of citizens and diplomats from those countries that went into Afghanistan with us to get bin Laden. We got out locally employed staff in the United States Embassy and their families, totaling roughly 2,500 people. We got thousands of Afghan translators and interpreters and others who supported the United States out as well. Now we believe that about 100 to 200 Americans remain in Afghanistan with some intention to leave. Most of those who remain are dual citizens, long-time residents who had earlier decided to stay because of their family roots in Afghanistan. The bottom line, 90% of Americans in Afghanistan who wanted to leave were able to leave.
Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I am your host, Ken Drew, with your new story that I'm going to cover for this week. It actually came out last Friday, but it came out last Friday, and when I recorded for the week in review with Ryan, it was already done, so I had to wait for this week. But I'm going to try to remain calm for this segment, because that whole situation makes my blood boil. The story concerning 9,000 American citizens still in Afghanistan. Still in Afghanistan. Now, here's your synopsis, all right? Because we all remember the shit show of last year's withdrawal, how that went down. I did an episode with another buddy of mine who was there to discuss our experiences. The backlash only lasted maybe 2 weeks before the legacy media moved on. So, shout out to the Daily Caller for keeping this up. The synopsis really comes from their website, so you can look it up yourself. Now, to ease the waters down, remember the Biden administration, including Secretary of the State Attorney Blinken, claimed there are only 100 to 150 Americans that remained in Afghanistan and had contacted the U.S. government with the desire to leave. The State Department and Defense Department officials stuck to that number, even as the government publicly admitted that large numbers of American citizens were still leaving the country. The report signed by Foreign Relations Ranking Member Jim Risch of Idaho reveals the State Department officials believed that between 10,000 and 15,000 Americans were in Afghanistan as late as August 17th. In the next 2 weeks, only 6,000 Americans were able to escape the country ahead of the Taliban takeover. In testimony in front of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, however, Blinken claimed that approximately 100 to 150 remained in Afghanistan who still wish to depart, estimating the number of Americans residing or visiting a country like Afghanistan is 50% art, 50% science, and educated guesswork. Staffers of the former Kabul embassy reportedly said since Americans are encouraged but not required to register with the State Department when they enter a country, the staffers know that host countries are generally able to provide better estimates than the embassy, but that Afghanistan was not capable of doing so. Officials like Blinken and U.S. Central Commander Leader Marine Corps General Kenneth McKenzie frequently qualify their statements about the number of Americans remaining in the country by saying that they were in contact with smaller numbers who want to leave. Contributing to the failure that was the Biden administration's lack of preparation for the execution of the withdrawal, national security officials were still looking to formulate a withdrawal plan a day before Kabul fell to the Taliban. Despite the fact that Biden announced that American forces would withdraw from Afghanistan 4 months before the collapse of the U.S. allied government, the National Security Council failed to coordinate withdrawal operations between the State and Defense Departments, and rapid troop withdrawals exacerbated the failed evacuation process, according to the report. Now, after Kabul fell to the Taliban, the Biden administration was still slow to organize contingency responses for withdrawal. The Transportation Department waited 5 days to issue an order allowing foreign airlines to deliver evacuees to American airports, and 7 days to evacuate the Civil Reserve aircraft fleet. The craft is a private airline fleet that can aid the U.S. military in a crisis, but was barely used. It did little to impact evacuation operations. Government officials had warned as early as 2007 that plans for withdrawal from unsafe and hostile nations would need a significant overhaul, particularly the report requirements for American citizens in those countries. A key factor of those plans is the resilience on the host government in providing an accurate number of Americans in need of evacuation. The issue has not been corrected across four presidential administrations. The lack of host nation accounting for Americans is likely not unique to Afghanistan and will be a persistent feature in countries with weak central governments and inefficient accounting systems. The report notes, it is exactly these countries that are most prone to rapid onset instability requiring evacuation of Americans. Despite these logistical failures, as well as the death of 13 American service members in an ISIS-K terrorist attack, the Biden administration claimed its withdrawal process of efforts a success. I can't say that with a straight face. Anyways, we complete one of the biggest airlifts in history, with more than 120,000 people evacuated to safety. That number is more than doubled what most experts thought was possible. No nation has ever done anything like that in all history. Come on, man. Biden said in a speech marking the final withdrawal of American forces and embassy officials. The bottom line, 90% of Americans in Afghanistan who wanted to leave were able to leave, Biden added. So first and foremost, my initial reaction, I am so angry with this administration. I'm just over it. You're guessing? You're going to leave it to a government that's being run by terrorists to determine, to tell us these numbers? Why don't you send all the troops from every corner of the country and then surround them and just walk towards the middle, if you will, and make sure every American citizen is returned? No more of this freaking guessing game. You know, they accused the last administration of lying like Pinocchio, but my goodness, They need to look at themselves in the mirror. If this was Trump, the legacy media would have latched onto this report quicker than the speed of light. You know why? Because it would have validated their allegations that Trump's a liar. But no, they gotta protect their little, they gotta protect their guy, right? Protecting his image is more important than 9,000 American citizens. 90% of Americans chose to stay in that hellhole. Hey, guess what, Biden? I was there. There wasn't a single American I met who wanted to be there any longer than they had to. If anything, the pay was the only incentive to be there. However, just willingly to be there permanently without getting paid, I don't think so. My gosh, we all saw Afghans desperate clinging on to our cargo planes because they knew what was to come when our service members left. What makes you think our own would rather stay there than come back to America? And you know what? If I said this to half a country, they would think this is a racist thought. To say something like, American citizens, American civilians more specifically, should have gotten priority in the withdrawal process. Excuse me. Nonetheless, evacuation after the disastrous discombobulation of bringing an end to the war that was a result of 9/11. Like, American citizens should have gotten priority, whether it's just the withdrawal process or the evacuation after that disastrous withdrawal. This president went on vacation during this process. He lied about everything! And people let him get away with it. To the 9,000 Americans who are stuck there because of this jackass for a president we have. Actually, let me change my tone. To those 9,000 Americans and their families and friends, just know I'm still here. And I will not stop bringing this up. As a matter of fact, I pledge right now, I'll keep bringing this up in every single episode that I create until your family members or yourself is home. Even if the episode isn't focused on what's transpiring in Afghanistan, I will continue to give a shout out to y'all, which I know I'm just going to give a shout out to y'all because people in our country need to know you're stuck there, not because you chose to be there, contrary to popular belief in this administration. We all know that's bullshit, but because our leadership abandoned you, they just do not give a shit about you. They don't care about Americans. But you know what? Americans still care about Americans. It's our leaders and our institutions that are more interested in protecting in their little puppet. 9,000 is a hell of a lot more than 100 to 150. You are not forgotten. And if one in a millionth chance there is someone out there who has family or friends stuck there, or you're one of the ones in Afghanistan right now stuck, please reach out to me. Please do. Reach out to me through, you can even reach out to me to my personal account on Instagram, at Kenjin296. Spell the word engine, put the letter K for the word engine, then you get Kenjin, one word, 296. Let me know how I can help. Because this is all I feel like I can do. I feel useless. It doesn't make sense to me why our focus isn't there. Why? I'm not even saying we should go back there and be there forever. I'm just saying we should be there to at least make sure every American citizen at least is out. Why is that such a controversial take? How is that controversial to say these things? How is that a racist? How is that a white supremacist thing? And I say that because I've made comments on social media last year saying that American citizens should have gotten priority during the whole process, and people accuse me of that stuff. That's why I'm saying that. There is literally real people in America who believe that's controversial. That shouldn't be our thought process. So please, any Americans, whether it's a, you know, you have a family member, whether it's a family member or a friend who has someone in Afghanistan still there, stuck, or you're that person that's stuck there right now, please reach out to me through my personal. Let me know how I can help. Clearly, this administration would rather focus on matters where American civilians aren't involved, aka the Ukraine and Russian situation, which really is really none of our business, but I digress. We clearly understand the wants and needs of Americans are last with this administration. We went from a president that had the mindset of American, America first, to America dead last. It's about their agenda over what's best for the American people. And you know what? Shame on you. Shame on all of you. I really wish I could do more to help. It astounds me that the legacy media, including Fox News, by the way, I don't think I've seen Fox News even touch this. Well, we have 9,000 American citizens still stuck in Afghanistan. They rather focus on Ukraine and Russia. Like Fox News. You were supposed to be the conservative media outlet. You should be grabbing onto this story. You should be latching onto this story as well, but you haven't touched this story. 9,000, again, is a hell of a lot more than 100 to 150. Or have you sold your souls out too? Unbelievable. Policies that aren't best for the American people. It's starting to reflect in everything else, by the way. Including the latest reports on inflation. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this short break.
Americans are feeling this. The highest inflation we've seen in this country in nearly 40 years, with prices up 7.5% in the last 12 months. This morning, inflation up. Since December 2020, the price of a pound of bacon rising more than a dollar. A dozen eggs up 21%. And a sirloin steak up a whopping $2 a pound. Goldman Sachs economists estimating those food prices could jump another 5 to 6% this year. But it's not just the grocery bill eating into family budgets. Nationwide, gas prices are up 50% from last year. Plus, the average price of a new car, a record-breaking $47,077, nearly $6,000 more than a year ago. With 82% of new vehicle purchases above the suggested retail price, according to Edmunds.com, some automakers now enacting policies to stop the markups.
Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I'm your host, Kenju, per usual, with the last story of today's weekly review. Like I said, the next 2 weeks, we're going to have more stories because we'll have another person to talk and dissect these current events to kind of give you a different perspective than just having a one person giving you one opinion. But for now, it's just me, baby, and I hope you enjoy this episode, and let's get into it, shall we? Something that's affecting all of us, inflation. Now, if you don't know what inflation is, it's for those who haven't taken economics yet or have a very vague understanding of economics, maybe. I know it's not something we talk about a lot on this show. As a matter of fact, I don't think I've really ever dived into the economy before when it comes to this show, mainly because it's something I'm not really too familiar with myself. Like, I can't, you can show me an economics report and I can't tell you if it's good numbers or bad numbers. So I could tell you what I know, and by all means, take what I say with this segment with a grain of salt, because I'm by no means an expert. As a matter of fact, the only reason why I'm even touching this is because we vaguely went over this in my macroeconomics class recently. And so I definitely feel, at least when it comes to talking about inflation rate, I definitely have a much better understanding now than I did before as far as how they calculate it and how really people will measure or what drives inflation rates overall. So the inflation rates has officially accelerated in the last report to 7.5% in last month's January, the highest since February of 1982, apparently, which is above the market forecast of 7.3%. By the way, you can find this information at tradingeconomics.com, by the way. All right, just so you know. Labor shortages and supply disruptions coupled with a strong demand away, energy remained the biggest contributor with 27% inflation rate and gasoline prices surging at a 40% inflation rate. Inflation accelerated for shelter as well from to 4.4%, food 7%, and food at home 7.4%. New vehicles also saw an inflation of 12.2%, used cars and trucks to a 40.5%, and medical care services to 2.7% inflation rate. Excluding in volatile energy food categories, the CPI rose 6%, the most since August of 1982. On a monthly basis, consumer prices increased 0.6% in line with forecasts. The January figure includes changes in seasonal adjustment factors with the bigger weight given to used cars and trucks and a smaller one for food away from home. But calculations did not affect unadjusted data. Now, inflation, for first and foremost, for those who don't know what inflation is just really the idea of your, imagine you had $1 and you could buy 3 Hershey bars with that dollar. But in 2 years from now, that dollar could only buy you one Hershey bar, all right? Basically, what inflation does, it makes you lose purchasing power. The dollar or the currency loses its value as a result. That's all inflation is. So when we see an inflation rate, it's basically saying, hey, the rate of which your dollar is worth is going away more pretty fast. Your purchasing power is diminishing at a pretty significant pace. And as a consumer, I'm just going to think as a consumer here, I can definitely tell, and it's really painful for me to do groceries or get gas, because my goodness, who would have thought that just printing trillions of dollars for no reason. No, I know someone will say it was for a purpose. You know, we had economic hardships and everything like that. But to continue to just go ahead and printing money, you're saying that our dollar's worth is going to diminish with this? You didn't think this was going to happen? You don't say. Now, many economists will say that inflation is a good thing. But they also acknowledge that this inflation rate report is not a good thing. Because the thing is, inflation is no good if the standard of living has also remained stagnant or has decreased. What does that mean? It means people aren't making enough money to keep up with the price changes, price increases. That's the problem. So I've always wondered, how come we always talk about inflation, but we never talk about deflation? Why isn't bringing back worth to our dollar a conversation with economists. Our economists, our so-called experts, will keep telling us inflation is needed to show strength of an economy, but here's the thing they don't seem to realize. Unless you're rich, that's not the case for all any of us. We like having more purchasing power with our dollar. We'd rather buy 3 bars of Hershey, for example, with $1 than just one. We like having that purchasing power. So why can't we have conversations about deflation? What's wrong with that? It's weird for me to say, too, that my car that I bought used for $10,000 last March is probably worth more now than it did a year ago. I wonder how much I could sell it for. I'm being serious. Now, does that mean I could afford to buy a used car again at that price? Oh, hell no. I got lucky with that car. I'm pretty sure I bought that car right before the inflation rate for used cars jumped to 40.5%. That's insane. I didn't think I'd ever live a day where my used car was actually worth more than when I purchased. But that's the reality. That's the reality with having a government that spends endlessly like money grew on trees. That's the downfall of a fiat currency as well. I wish our dollar was worth something, was valued on something like gold, like it used to be, where governments couldn't manipulate the value of the U.S. dollar to their benefit. Now, the U.S. dollar's value is only as good as people's trust in how much value they put in the dollar. And that's the problem right now. Americans in particular are losing trust in the value of our dollar with all this spending. I am losing trust in our dollar, and that's why I'm investing more money into crypto as a deflationary currency. But regardless, how are we going to get out of this mess? Well, some theories suggest that we need to, in order to combat inflation, you have to raise interest rates again, because right now the interest rates are up 0%. And so when it comes to inflation such as this, the right thing to do supposedly is to raise interest rates. But here's the thing. I'm interested in deflation again. I want to know what policies can we come up with that can give and bring back the value of a dollar back? Why is that a point of conversation with economists? As a matter of fact, if you're a student out there and you're trying to become an economist yourself, reach out to me. Start thinking outside the box. What are some policies that could be beneficial, that could bring value back to our dollar? I miss, by the way, my $2 to $2.50 gas prices. All right. I remember can't believe it's been 2 years, but I remember when the pandemic first set and I saw gas prices as low as $1.17. That was incredible. I want to see those kind of prices. I want to see prices come down to where I had more purchasing power. I could budget out more things and I can afford to do more things. But I can't do that when the cost of living keeps going up. Inflation is the people's tax. And it's called the people's tax for a reason, because literally it's causing more money to spend money on goods just to buy one thing because of that purchasing power, of decreasing purchasing power. We want to be able to spend more money on things, but we can't. people still have to pay our bills, and even then, our bills are starting to get more expensive to keep up with inflation. Thanks to inflation, the Dollar Tree is no longer a dollar anymore. It's now $1.25 plus tax. Thanks, Biden. Thanks, Obama 3.0. Gosh. If there's any takeaways from this episode tonight, is that we have a circus running in D.C. right now. And people voted for this guy. There are genuine people who voted for him. And it boggles my mind that I understand that Donald Trump was not the most well-spoken person out there. I get that. But neither is Joe Biden, by the way. And I understand that sometimes Trump would say outlandish things on Twitter. But look at the policies and how it's affecting you as an American trying to make it. And today, just trying to live by and live your life in peace. How is that working out for you? If you genuinely voted for this guy. And I say that because I do believe there are people's votes who were counted that should have not been counted. Dead people, unregistered voters, illegal immigrants, etc. Whether it's the administration choosing to fund crackheads and their habits, forgetting and leaving behind 9,000 Americans and lying through their teeth about it, and then printing money so much to the point now we can't even afford to buy a used car anymore. A high schooler probably can't even afford to buy a used car unless they buy it off their parents or their family members or their friends. They can't go to a used car lot anymore. That's for damn sure. Think about how these policies are affecting you. Maybe don't place so much on someone's personality as much as the policies they're promoting. Because this sucks. I hate it. Jeez. Midterm elections are coming up, folks. Think and vote with your pockets. That's how I'm going to close out this week in review. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this short break. Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I am your host, Ken Drew, per usual. Thanks again for tuning into today's show. I hope you enjoyed it. I know it's just me, and I know you only got one opinion today, but I promise you, like I said, next Friday, and bring in my friend Devin again, and the Friday after that, I will be bringing in another guest, first-time guest, who started her own podcast, first episode that came out this week. Go check it out yourself, Red Girl in a Blue World. She'll be joining me on this show to talk about stories that we found interesting, and hopefully you found interesting as well. So, with that said, until the next episode, God bless and have a great Friday.